It's all depressing conversation in the waiting room.
Yeah, but
you two were probably having a fun one.
We were having train talk.
Yeah, train talk.
You should have saved that for this.
I know, but I couldn't wait. I've been thinking about him on that train.
It was good stuff.
He took a trip similar to mine. You know?
And did you have the same experience? We get to talk to people.
Yeah.
I had a good time. Yeah, I met some weirdos.
Yeah.
I was telling Bill about one guy that sees the number 6 everywhere. He was saying, even that there's an X behind you, those two swords on the wall behind you over there, that's an X, and the X is the 24th letter of the alphabet, and 2 + 4 = 6, you see?
Fucking
right.
Hell. Right. Yeah. Where was he on his way to?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I put my headphones on.
Did you find that you didn't want the trip to end, or were you ready to get off that train?
I could have gone longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the next time I'll take it all the way to San Francisco or the little town next to it where it ends up.
Yeah.
Because then I didn't realize, I thought that because we had gotten out in Reno, I thought that we were going through the Sierra Nevada mountains and the Rocky Mountains, but we missed the Sierra Nevadas. Those are west of Reno, I guess. Those happened as the train was pulling up to us.
Yeah, so you missed those. But you did get some great mountains, though.
Oh, my God.
Got some great Rockies. It
was not lacking in the scenery for an entire day going through the Rocky Mountains.
Was the train really labor going up? Like,
it's funny because I was commenting at one point. I said, you know, it doesn't even feel like we're going up an incline. However, I know at one point I saw a sign in one of the towns that we had passed that we were at 4,500 feet. And then
it's a slow incline.
Yeah,
it doesn't go up a mountainside.
Right. But I know that at one point we're 9,000 feet. So we had another 4,500 feet to go. And we're going along, and I was commenting, I was like, look at there's a stream, you know, going the opposite way. So obviously the water's going downhill, you know, and it was moving pretty quickly. However, it didn't feel like we were going up. But then when the guy came over the intercom at the end of the trip and he kind of did like a play-by-play of what had happened, he was talking about how we had come back down, and I noticed that around that time my ears were popping.
Was it like Snowpiercer? Did you have to work your way up the train as your class increased?
Yes, it was just like that.
Yeah.
Meaning the people get richer as you go through the train cars?
Yeah.
Like in the movie Snowpiercer.
Yeah, I don't remember that movie. Who's in that? Pierce Brosnan's?
Tilda Swinton plays the evil queen of the thing. I think who's at the end of the train, who's God, basically?
Morgan Freeman? Wasn't
Morgan Freeman.
No, it wasn't. It was Ben Kingsley, I want to say.
I've never seen the movie.
He'd be a good guy.
You've never seen Snowpiercer. I thought you were both like movie fucking nerds.
I am.
Yeah, I am.
But I never watch any movie that starts with the word snow.
No.
That's my rule.
I always confuse Snowpiercer and the band Snow Patrol. Remember them?
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm always like, wait, is this the band or is this the movie?
Yeah, it's confusing.
Snowpiercer, you got, I think it's on Hulu or.
I don't have
Netflix
Hulu money
right now. Oh, Ed Harris is.
Oh, I like Ed Harris.
You can't afford Netflix.
You know who looks like Ed Harris? Who in your life do you know looks
Tom
like
Tom Lawler?
Oh, my God, Jesus. He looks just like Ed Harris. Doesn't he?
Yep.
It's amazing.
Everyone looks like someone. You're
Brad Pitt.
No, yes, Peter Stormare. How do you pronounce it? Even?
Stormare. Best Stormare performance, Fargo, when him and Steve Buscemi, you've seen Fargo, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Best movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Buscemi pick up those prostitutes and they're in that motel.
Yeah.
They're both having at them in the beds. It's the best. It's the best.
I like him more in, I like, I mean, they give him ridiculous dialogue in Lebowski.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We are going to fuck you up. Do you remember? At the end.
Yeah, I can't remember, but.
And they're nihilists. Ooh, it all comes around.
What?
Peter Stormare plays a nihilist. You look like him and you are a nihilist.
I'm not a nihilist.
Holy shit.
But you've got that tattoo.
Which one?
This one says, I'm a nihilist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I am.
Destroy everything.
Explain that.
I guess I am.
Funny you should bring up Fargo. The guy that we are talking about today was in an episode of the TV show version of Fargo.
Was he?
Really?
Yep.
I didn't see his credits. I didn't look up his credits.
Is that the Chris Rock?
Yep. Yep, that was season 4.
I never watched the show.
Episode 4. I guess he's got a small part.
The show?
My God.
I didn't see the point in the show, but I've seen the movie. What do I need to see the show
Holy
for?
Completely
shit,
different.
Completely different?
It's so good. You got to watch
you
it.
You got to watch fucking Fargo.
It's just too much to watch.
Christ.
I know, there is. It's overwhelming.
It's just too much to watch.
I know.
You know?
We were just talking about White Lotus out there. Sorry, Mark. Even that one, when that came out. Because, like, Severance had just made it.
I still haven't
seen
Severance.
Right. And I finally just finished that, and people are like, you got to watch White Lotus. I can't.
You got to watch this. You got to watch it. You got to watch Snowpiercer. You got to watch everything.
Yeah. Fargo was so engrossing. You know the last one, the John Hamm one? He was so evil in it. Heather actually took to flipping him off when he would appear
on
screen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really interactive show.
Yeah. Wow. I'm like, you know, it's not real.
Flipping off
right?
John Hamm. John Hamm was the bad guy?
Yeah. In the
against type.
Yeah. In the last Fargo, John Hamm was supremely fucking evil.
Yeah. He was a bad dude.
And Heather, just one time when he comes out, just flipping him off. Like,
oh, my God.
Fictional characters.
Really? Transporting her.
How good John Hamm is.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I will see that show.
It's really good.
Yeah.
What's good about Fargo is that it's like a showcase for villains, right?
Yeah.
Because I do it after the last one, I was mentally going through. I was like, okay, John Hamm is by far the most evil, but like, how do you rank him against like the brother, the Italian brother, or the Irish nurse, or like you know, because they had smaller parts.
Oh, you mean in the same season?
No, they were all in different. Like,
they
I
were
go,
in different seasons.
If you
I'm
go
trying to remember
each
now.
Season, so mm-hmm. There was the Chris Rock one. There's the Irish nurse, right?
That's the only one I didn't get into. The season 4.
Really. Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't see it?
I watched the first episode or something. Maybe the first one and a half, and I was just like,
without giving me
that's
all
the
of it.
Best.
Is it worth watching?
The premise of 4 is there's two gangster groups in Chicago. And as part, for some weird reason, to keep peace or something, they have to give the eldest son to the other gangster group, and they go live with them. The eldest son goes and lives with. So Chris Rock, who's obviously like the black gangster, his son has to go and live with this other gangster. I can't remember the reason why now, but. Who's the other guy? The guy he's fucking a genius actor, Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, he is
the other one. Yeah, yeah. It's I think people are lining up to be in Fargo, right?
Yeah,
just
it's
like,
still going.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah, they just do one every now and
without
again.
Without going into all of it,
they're all
what
different.
What does it have to do with the movie?
Nothing really. I mean, like geographically a little bit, you know. Like there are overlaps from the movie. And the other thing, the thing about the TV show is, each season it stands by itself. It's a completely different crew, completely different story. So you can watch one season and you can move on with your life.
Are there any through characters that are in every season?
That's the thing, like kind of like there's overlapping like timelines and stuff that you
like
know,
White Lotus.
I think
exactly, yeah, right.
I think Chris Rock is meant to be a young kid in mm-hmm. one of the previous ones.
Yeah,
you don't make the association.
Right. Yeah, they don't hit you over the head with it. They don't come out right out and tell you, but you can see something and be like, oh, I think I see, like, you know, in a different timeline, this person. Mm.
But I mean, it's got like Billy Bob Thornton is a bad guy in the first.
That
one.
Was one of my favorites.
David Thewlis, is it David or Peter Thewlis?
Well, okay, so then isn't the second one with? I don't want to say too much in case Bill's
going
to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the second one with the married couple, or he kind of does whatever she wants?
Yeah, and that's Thewlis,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Because it's
I don't know the names.
Ewan McGregor.
He's in it.
Yeah.
Oh my Dude, God! The cast in this program.
They don't miss.
They're queuing up.
Yeah.
Who's the showrunner of this thing? Who's the brains behind this operation? It's not the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers are behind it.
They are?
Yeah.
But they're not the showrunners.
I don't know if they do. I don't know if they.
The guy who does the hard yards is this other guy. He's like a famous TV drama guy.
I'm not sure.
And also, Jenna Gephardt looks like Mary Elizabeth Winstead does.
Which one is that?
She's the one that kind of leads Ewan McGregor's idiot brother
astray.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I see it.
My wife thinks that I have a homoerotic love for Ewan McGregor.
Well, do you?
Yeah, do you?
I don't know.
I like him. I like his movies.
You should watch Fargo because you get double the Ewan.
Really?
Yeah. He's like a together brother and idiot brother in the one thing.
Yeah. You see me? I keep staring at my finger. See how swollen my pinky is?
What were you doing?
It's a weird thing. I was playing basketball yesterday.
Ah.
And jammed it. Ball. They threw me a pass with this ball and bam, bam.
Do we need to time out while you go get some ice?
No. It's fine.
You need to tape it.
It's tingly. I was thinking it's so tingly. Maybe I could do the stranger. You know, the stranger. Hey. You know, where you, a man.
Oh, you lie in your arm.
Yeah, it's like somebody else's hand. It feels
like.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. Not right now.
I wonder what the viz term for it is.
For the stranger, there's got to be a viz term for that. Well, we're not doing the viz today. We're taking a break from the viz.
A little viz break.
To all the listeners at home. But we petered out on the viz a little only because we weren't getting them anymore. I don't know if you were making it harder or we were getting less bright.
I wasn't savvy with my choices.
Yeah. So we'll take a break from this. We tried a new segment, Can Mark Afford It? But I think we exhausted everything there.
That bit ran its course. It did okay.
You got some new. Oh, my God. Those are disgusting.
Mark's showing us his shoes.
The bottom fell off on the way
here. On the way here. Funny thing happened to me on the way over here today.
What happened to the Adidas? That's a disgusting men's shoe.
Oh, you know what, Mark? You inspired me. I went and I dug my Adidas out of the back of the closet and wore them on the entire trip.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, the new ones that you never wore?
No.
You had a box of shoes you never wore.
No, I don't. I'm not that kind of person. No, these ones I wore for a long time, but then they just kind of like made it to the back of the closet because I bought new shoes and I'm like, I'll go back to these. So I went and dug them out, and they held up. You know, the thing about Adidas. They stand the test of time.
Yeah. Quality shoe.
Still had the arch.
Oh.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right. What model were they?
What's the one, that popular one that starts with an S?
Samba.
Samba, yeah.
They were Sambas. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Well, no segments to start the show. Let's go right into our comedian of the day, Caleb Heron. I don't want to butcher his name. Is that how you say it? Caleb Heron?
It's either Heron or Heron.
Heron. And we lucky to we all were able to see it. You cannot afford HBO.
I don't know. I think I fucking went and purchased it. So
you did?
No.
Someone is going to owe me $10. Well,
let me say this.
I texted Kyle. He gave me the thing. So I was like, okay, I'll be ready. I'll hit watch. Get the app because I have the little stick thing. I got the app and I'm ready to log in and it just starts fucking playing. So I'm like, if this has gone to Hulu or some other shit that I've paid for,
$14.99 a month,
and now stuck another 10 whatever on, 15. I'm going to be fuming.
I feel like if there's one app to buy, it's HBO. I feel like they have the best programming out there.
I'm very happy that Kyle Scanlon gave me his username and password.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be putting it out there. What is the login information for anyone that doesn't have it? Do you want to give it?
Following.
Now, when you guys were talking about it and you put it out there that you didn't have it, I did not respond right away with my login information. And the reason being is I don't know it. It only just comes on, and the kids are always trying to get in it, and they keep changing the password at home. So I didn't know it.
Have you got the kids locked out then?
No, they don't remember the passwords. So when they're logging in from different places, they text me, what's the password for the HBO? I go, I don't know. I'll give it to them. Like, that's not it. And then they change it.
Oh, right.
You know, and then I don't know what it is. So
every time I have to log into a new device to watch something on HBO, I have to go back look at text messages from like 3-4 years ago from Kyle. I just figure a search.
All Kyle Scanlon. How do they not get wise to this when 19 different people are?
I'm sure they have an idea. But the best part is it was an audio message because he was driving at the time, so I had to listen to the whole message.
about the password?
Yeah. He tells me his password.
Why don't you just put it into the computer that you carry around with you at all times?
That takes all the fun out of it.
So did you also surf around HBO after you watched this program yesterday?
No.
No, weren't interested in the programming? No.
I think I'm going to have to... Everyone keeps wanking on about slow horses and...
Task.
I keep seeing advertisements for that.
It pops up every time. Task with Mark Ruffalo. Seems how we're always talking about women that I may be attracted. I'm not, but my wife is very attracted to Mark Ruffalo. She really, he really gives her a zing.
He's got a Mark Vanner-esque quality to
him. Oh, I didn't think that.
Little,
well, maybe she's got a zing for Mark Vanna.
Yeah, you might want to confront. Mark Vanna.
Who does Heather like?
Oh.
Who gets her hot and bothered on the TV?
What's his name? Colin Firth.
Colin Firth?
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah, he's debonair.
I think that's an older iteration.
Colin Farrell or Colin Firth?
Firth. The English.
From the King's Speech.
Yeah, exactly. And then
she likes English. We know that.
Daniel Craig. And I think, I'm not sure if she just likes him, or thinks he's hot shit, is the guy from bloody Downton Abbey. Yeah, oh, Downton Abbey. That's in
fella?
Everything.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Know, yeah, yeah.
He's
know.
In everything.
He looks like Colin Firth, kind of.
Yeah, he's Firth-esque.
Yeah, yeah, geez, yeah. She's got a type.
Yeah.
Right? Is she like any Americans? No?
I don't know.
Not interested in any Americans?
No, and then she likes, you know, yeah, I think most of the older rock stars she liked were all British as well, you know, McCartney's. And
so stuff. When you take her over there, she's swooning everywhere you go, everyone you run into? No. Okay. Well, okay, so let's talk about Caleb Heron, model comedian, age 30, as we know from the special.
Fucking stop applauding people.
Yeah. I know. He did it right away. He said, just turned 30. I'm getting older. I like it. And then he paused for the applause. I know you hate that.
It doesn't deserve it.
Age, marriage, kids.
Right.
Identity. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. There. He wasn't winning me over right away with his act. But it's filmed in Chicago. So the first thing he says, hey, Chicago. You know, that drives me crazy. Do you know where it was filmed in Chicago?
I do. It was filmed around the corner from me at Constellation, which is...
It's not around the corner from you.
Yeah, it is.
It's around the corner from me.
Well, it's more than around
a couple miles away from
you. More than
you.
One corner out there.
Needless to say,
around the corner from here.
Needless to say, I was annoyed by the fact...
That they didn't do it here?
Well, it's not Constellation's not even a fucking comedy club.
It's a jazz place.
Well, it's dead now. It's dead.
No, no, it's back. They did this big music festival a couple weeks ago. I can't remember what it was called, but
it died like 6 months ago.
No, the thing's kicking big. They did.
They
like,
filmed this in June of 2025.
No.
That's what it said on Wikipedia.
I thought it did.
Yeah.
No way.
No, I think I think it was referenced like. Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe. Couldn't be out this fast, yeah?
Let me ask you, why are you surprised? Is it because he says 2023 a
couple
something
times in
there,
the special?
Yeah,
maybe.
Right,
it was 2023.
Surprised me too. Hey, you know what? AI's not always right.
Yeah, I don't know if it is right. But just looking at the... I didn't realize where it was until the end when I looked at the credits. Is that how you figured it out?
No, it says filmed at Constellation.
Oh, at the beginning?
The notes, yeah.
Oh, I don't look at the notes. That shag carpet. You never see a comedian standing on carpet like that. Do you notice the carpet he was on?
I mean, that's just to deaden the sound.
No, I mean, obviously there's carpet. Musicians perform on carpet, like oriental rugs and whatnot. This was like a shag carpet. It was like a thick wall-to-wall carpet in a bad townhome.
We put carpet on the stage here when Dale McPeak performed, and it's been there to this day. It's not shag.
This isn't shag, but it's like wall-to-wall carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, you have to this? For TV.
You do? Because you can't have the...
Can't have the... every fucking one.
Yeah. But very small venue, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
I think they built the space. I mean, Jesus Christ, that end credits when all the people involved in it. And I was expecting to recognize. I'll be
some
like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
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 right.
Yeah,
did
I'll
you?
Recognize this. Not a goddamn person.
I was doing the same thing. I was looking at all the faces.
At
first, I thought they showed somebody in the beginning, and I thought, I can't even remember her name, but she used to perform here all the time. I think she's moved to New York since. But Yeah, didn't recognize a single.
When they showed some people at the when the people they showed at the end were those people doing their act in some kind of way?
I don't know. Remind
me of the Maria Bamford one.
I thought it might be an opening comic or two that I would recognize.
Yeah.
But I think it was people in the production horsing around for the segment.
Testing out the shag carpeting, seeing if any sound comes through.
Yeah. All right, so tell us a little more about Caleb Heron, why you chose this, and what we know about this guy.
It was just simply recommended to me by a few different people, similar to the Randy Feltface scenario.
Okay.
Honestly, I was just kind of, I forgot to pick somebody before the before we were recording.
Seems
the
like
last
a reoccurring
episode.
Theme.
Yeah. Well, so I was scrambling, and I remembered, oh, yeah, people told me that this guy's funny. So I looked him up, and now we all watched it.
So a couple were, you know, deep into season two of this program. How are you liking his sensibilities in terms of the comedians he's choosing?
You're going to give me a review right here?
Yeah, let's review him.
We're reviewing the
reviewing his choices.
Let me think. So we did that.
Because we started this program, you and I would take turns picking a comedian.
I mean, it's definitely better than the shot you were picking.
What?
Gallagher.
I never picked Gallagher. I didn't like it. That was him.
I picked Gallagher.
Well, you picked...
Swartzen. You didn't like Swartzen.
When did you go... Tell me who you picked.
I picked Sandler, Swartzen.
Swartzen was terrible. Gallagher's terrible.
Bargatze. Did I pick Bargatze? I think maybe I did.
You picked Bargatze.
You loved him.
Yeah. Bargatze and Sandler are good. I picked Bamford. You know what we got to do? I was thinking of this the other day. I think we hit 25 comedians either with this one or the last one. We got to do a ranking.
Yeah. Let's do a ranking.
So we'll all go away. We'll
do a ranking show.
And we'll discuss. We don't need to go through all 25, but I think consensus between us, we'll say, all right,
we'll
who's
do our
your
top 10.
Top 10. No. Top 5, bottom 5. Top 5, bottom 5.
Top 5, bottom 5 of all 25, or will we just do season 1, season 2? Let's keep it end of the year show.
All right.
Top comedians of the season. Top specials. We'll work on that. I like that. That'll be a year in review show. Yeah. Also, I wanted to talk about this too. I'm not happy with when we get to the end of the show and we go around and say whether we liked it or we still have not figured that out. And I was watching an episode of the great Tim Heidecker show on Cinema at the Cinema. You've watched this?
No.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. Him and Hamburger or Greg Turkington do this.
Oh, right.
They review movies, right? And it's just it's silly. It's not, they don't really review the movies. But then they rate them based on bags of popcorn, right? So if they really like the movie, it's 5 bags of popcorn, 2 sodas, and then it's wacky like that. What if we do something similar? Because a lot of times it's not a kill or a bomb, it's something in between. So like, what could we do that would create a rating system? Like 3, I'm not suggesting microphones, but 3, what happens at a comedy show?
Sounds like instead of bags of microphones. Popcorn.
No, I'm not suggesting microphones. Mm. I specifically said I don't like microphones. Mm. So like, what about like, you know, like 2 drink minimum? I give it a 3 drink minimum, a 4 drink minimum, 5 drink minimum. But that doesn't even make sense.
Is the higher it goes, the worse it is though?
I don't know. That
more drinks
doesn't make
you need
sense
to get through.
But I like a rating system.
Well, come up with one.
What are your ideas for it?
Every idea I've ever had is where you fucking, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Why?
I don't know. I can't think of it. I like binary rating systems.
I don't like binary. I'm non-binary.
I like good, bad. That's why I always...
But nothing is good or bad. It's something in between everything.
That's why I always hated the music press. You know, when they review an album. It should be, it's good, it's okay, or it's shit. That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. You got any ideas over there?
For the rating system? Why don't you do a binary one and you do however many microphones you want to get?
Yeah, we'll just do, I'm just going to change it
every
time.
We'll all have a different rating system.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. And it changes every
week.
That's
the sort of nihilism you can get behind.
Oh, fuck off with that nihilism.
That's fully nihilistic ratings. Yeah. You can enjoy that.
And I'll just tally mine on the whiteboard next to me so nobody else has an idea of what I thought of it.
All right. You guys are a lot of help. All right. Caleb Reardon. Reardon?
Heron.
Heron.
Why do I want to say Reardon?
I don't know.
Who's Reardon? Do you know anyone named Reardon?
There was a snooker player in the 70s called Ray Reardon.
Ray Reardon?
They called him the Dracula of the Green Bays because he had a widow's peak and he looked like Dracula.
That's obscure as fuck.
I know.
Reardon. Tiger Reardon. I used to know Tiger Reardon.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah. Guy named Philip Reardon. Roomed with him back in the late 90s. His nickname was Tiger Reardon. Had his feet were like Crackus hams. You know, like the ham?
Yeah.
They were like big pink feet.
Huh. Yeah, why?
And he was a big, pale guy. And big red feet. All right. let's take a moment to bring in our sponsor, Beguine Construction. For all your high-end construction needs, you want a home remodeled, you want a backsplash put in, you want a high-end home starting from scratch. He'll build your home by hand like a... like a carpenter. Call Bill Beguine at 773-861-2717. Beguine Construction for all your high-end construction needs. Okay. So how do we review these guys? We just launch into their acts?
I normally follow you.
Well, I didn't know anything about this fellow. Go ahead and tell us more about this fellow.
He was born in a rural town in Missouri.
Love that. I love Missouri, my favorite state.
Yeah. He started doing comedy around college, I think, and then he moved here to Chicago, and he performed.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
He must have performed here.
A whole bunch. Actually, Lincoln Lodge is mentioned.
I told you that.
In the Wikipedia. Yep.
He's a Lodge. Was he a cast member?
He had a monthly show here.
Yeah, monthly. Him and Holmes from Welcome to Clatch or whatever that
Holmes, the guy we talked about last time?
No, Holmes.
Chelsea.
Holmes is a they.
Oh, Holmes. Not Pete Holmes.
Yeah, I don't
Mike
know.
Holmes?
But it said that they just go by Holmes.
They just go by Holmes.
Holmes. H-O-L-M-S?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
so
yeah,
so
yes.
Holmes and Heron had a hit show here. Did
no
well.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. And both have been back... Maybe once a year, I think. I saw Caleb here on here not that long ago.
Do you know this man?
Not particularly well. I know him enough to say, all right, Caleb.
Yeah?
But yeah.
How about you? You know this fellow?
He looked familiar, and I couldn't figure out if it was from seeing him around here or from Fargo.
He was on... Oh, because he was on
Fargo. On episode 4 of season 4 of Fargo.
He looked familiar to me, too. I certainly never met him, but... he looks just like the comedian John Panette.
No.
John Panette's been dead about 10 years.
Sure.
He
looks like him.
He doesn't look like
him. I know
him,
he was
though.
A legendary Zanies guy, but I never
Panette?
Saw him.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a legendary comedian from the.
I think about the right guys.
John Panette.
Yeah.
Portly fellow.
Yeah.
You go now.
You go now. Yeah, you do the Chinese. restaurant impression.
He's a rather large guy. And
he's a poor man's Louis Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes Caleb Reardon a poor man's Jean Panette.
I think Caleb Heron looks more like, don't know the Heron looks more like,
Heron
looks more like, there's somebody that used to be in like 90s sitcoms. He was in like Just Shoot Me or something like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Drew Carey.
No, Just
no,
Shoot
but
Me.
It, yeah.
No, there was another guy that was in, I know who you're talking
One
about.
Of those shows.
Yeah.
Like Spin City or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
He was in Groundhog Day. Remember? He's like, off to see the groundhog? Remember the guy that sees you? I mean, there's only 5 scenes repeated 100 times.
Uh-huh.
Remember when he walks out of the house? He said, off to see the groundhog? That's the guy.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, look that up.
I don't remember who
he looks
that.
Just like that guy who looks like John Panette who was begat by Louis Anderson.
He looks like
who was
half
begat by W.C. Fields. Any other overweight comedians? Have we already done?
He looks
overweight
like,
comedians. Go.
He looks like half of the people you see at any given open mic.
Mm.
Leave it at that.
Are you suggesting that at open mics there are overweight gentlemen? Is that what you're saying? Half
Pretty
the
much.
Half the micers are overweight gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Well, we can talk about his weight because he talks about his weight.
Yep.
Right?
He's green lit, right?
Yes. And it made me think, you know, we see black comedians talk about being black and using the N-word and all different races and different types of people. This man gets to talk about being overweight and making fun of it and being gay and making fun of it. And he also is able to make fun of all non-heterosexual people. He has a license to do that because he himself is gay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which leaves us, and I don't want to speak for you, but I am cisgender.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I believe it means I like women.
Okay.
No, I think
I like to make love to women.
Do you want me to look it up?
No, I think cis means you are the gender you were born.
Okay. I'm that. I'm a man who likes to lay down with women in a sexual way. Regardless, who am I able to make fun of? Nobody.
No. Yeah.
In this world, I'm not able to make fun of anyone at all because I am cisgender male.
There's always there's somebody for everybody.
I can only make fun of you.
Are we
for being British?
Do you need to
am
go?
Am I even allowed to do that?
You can make fun of British people.
I can because we're Americans. This is like the Joe Rogan program.
Yeah,
I can't make fun of anybody because I lay down with women and I'm white.
Are you going to come in wearing like combat fatigues next week?
Maybe
with a. Have you got a Punisher tattoo? In
so what does that mean?
In the litany of
under
tattoos.
My Harrington?
Yeah.
No.
Punisher, you know. It's
yeah,
like
I know. What does that mean, though? I know it's a movie or it's a
it's what comic book character. It's like Joe Rogan people. They have Punisher.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they have Punisher stickers on the back of their trucks, which...
That means you're a Roganite?
Yeah.
Really? Not a Reaganite?
No, I mean, you have your Punisher thing, and then you have your... What's it? The
Calvin black, pissing on a...
The black stars and stripes with the one blue bar.
Yeah.
That's Blue Lives Matter?
I think so, yeah. What is Punisher? Is that a wrestler or is that...
No, it's a comic book character.
It's a comic
isn't it? Like
book,
the
right?
Punisher.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a movie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What is the Punisher?
It means you're MAGA.
Can it be mutually exclusive?
You hate all minorities.
You know when you see a big truck and it's like... gray silvery with chromey rims and you think I know who's getting out of that and it's always someone who looks like Joe Rogan getting out of it right?
Yeah, like goateed short haircut
that's who you can make fun of
I'd be afraid of that,
there's a whole bunch of people
I'd be afraid of the guy with a Punisher tattoo, kill me, go home
and build a new comedy career just on that.
Just attacking Joe Rogan?
That guy.
Yeah. And those people? Yeah. I'll be dead in a week.
It'll be a fun week, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm afraid of them. Well, anyway, this guy gets to make fun of so many different people, and I'm jealous. You know?
Yeah.
Not because I want to make fun of those people.
You can make fun of your fellow Southies.
No.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Working class Southies like you can make fun of them.
Do you have too much fondness in your heart for them to make fun of them? Why are you shutting down like this all of a sudden? Are you hiding behind the microphone?
I don't know.
Shall I pick the torch up?
What do you mean? Pick the torch up. What is
that? If he's throwing his toys out of the pram, someone else has got to talk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, what do you got written down for your notes there?
I think we're going to agree, though, here. Starts off and you're like 5 minutes in, I'm like, this ain't going nowhere. This is a series of gratuitous, like dingy breaks. But then, as has happened frequently, I find, with these things, it turns. And now I'm hooked in. Now I'm hooked in.
When does it turn?
It turns when... it turns when he starts talking about his mom raising him as a single... His mom raising him and he wanted a suit and he was very right-wing and reactionary as a kid.
Yes.
And didn't know why. That's the turning point. After that, I think, okay, I'm on board. Mm. We're starting to hear some stuff.
Form an identity.
You see, I don't like identity stuff. I just like...
I'm starting to understand the person that's talking to me. And if I can understand the person that's talking to me, I can understand what jokes they're making about themselves better.
Yeah, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but I don't just be funny. And none of it was funny up until, and this is where it shifts for me. Maybe this is, I don't know, this is the same spot. When he says when he was younger, he didn't know he was gay yet or wasn't ready to come out. And he just thought he was being a better Christian than he was gay, right? And I was like, okay, right? And that was kind of, I kind of laughed for the first time. Like, okay, yeah, like, because Christian people are real righteous and everything. And it's his way of coming to terms with being gay, right?
Yep.
And then he just, then he goes into all that white trash stuff and being made fun of for being fat and saying I have a gun. That crowd work bit was great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, where he like has people like say this and he's like, no.
Right.
And say that, no.
Yeah.
And then he ends with I have a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That was a great crowd work, great bit. And then talking about drugs. And then when he starts talking about suicide, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, ooh, you don't really hear comedians talk about suicide and talk about it as boldly as he did. And it was awesome, right? Like that was really impressive to me, like how he went right at it. And he starts to go really right at things. And it seems like he gains a whole ton of confidence, or the act does. And then from there, I think, yeah, we do agree.
Yeah.
It was really good.
There's a turning point. Yeah, the mental health stuff. Suicide, I've seen so many comedians try it and just fail.
Yeah, like, why do they fail at it? And
because they don't go hard enough.
Right.
Normally, it's like
tiptoe around it.
They'll go in and it's like test the waters.
Yeah.
And then the crowd pushes back like, ooh, you could really bodge this. And then they just sort of like, forget I ever said it.
Yeah.
And this guy is just going to like, okay, let's
just go right at it.
Go at it and we'll keep going at it. And I think that's why he gets away with it in the end, because he doesn't back off at any point.
Yeah, and then the dad stuff was really good too, about how his dad was like the king of depression, right? Like, and how everyone in his family is mentally ill. Like, so he goes from the suicide to the depression to the mentally ill family members, and into the and talks about his dad being a hoarder.
Yeah,
I guess I just love hoarder comedy. Like, if there's a kind of comedy I love when people talk about hoarders. It's so funny to me.
Everyone says I'm a hoarder, which is just like,
you
no,
are.
I'm
you,
just,
you are in a way,
I'm not,
but
like, because it's like I don't have a fish tank full of Sports Illustrated from 1984.
See, that's so funny to me. It's really a sickness. It's a real sickness, but it's funny.
I always used to watch Hoarders, and what made me laugh was. It was Hoarders followed by American Pickers, so it was like half an hour of like, look at these fucking lunatics, like gathering old shit that they don't, and then immediately celebrating, like, look at these guys, they travel around in a van dragging old motorbikes out.
Yeah,
like, wait, you just told me that's mental illness.
It's two sides of the same
now
coin.
Now it's fucking genius, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what I always liked about watching Hoarders and then Pickers. But anyway, yes.
But hoarding is a mental illness I think we can all get behind and enjoy and laugh at and love. Unless you, the big, where he says like, yeah, and he does it so good when he talks about, and they acquire all this stuff and it has no value. And then when they die, you get to sort through it. It's great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is another one. I don't know, you know, who are the other comedians? Maybe you can remember where they start off and I hate them. I didn't really hate him, but it was like, I didn't really even understand what he was saying. Like the language of a 30-year-old gay millennial. I don't like some of the phrases. Yeah. I didn't even, what is he says, I'm getting cooked. I guess I understood what that was.
Right.
But then he's like, I'm turning into a Midwest aunt pilled. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like,
wait, what?
No, aunt. Like, aunt, a Midwest auntie. Like, auntie.
Yeah, pilled. What does that even mean, pilled?
Oh, I don't know. Right? You're the one with teenage kids.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard that one. I'm pretty privy to all this sort of stuff because I work in a comedy club around young people.
Yeah.
But that is a new one to me.
There was a bunch of them in there. And then he was talking about being in Pink Panther mode. What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, he's just slinking around. I don't think that's even something the kids say. I think that's just he had one hit of a joint and one drink. And all of a sudden, he's just like slinking around.
What does that even mean?
Like, it's the, you know, the titles to a Pink Panther film.
Yeah.
Where Clouseau in cartoon form is chasing the Pink Panther around.
Yeah.
And Pink Panther's like sliding up the walls. And
just being cool.
Yeah.
Just in cool mode. Cool guy. Going out there cruising the town.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Pink Panther does.
I guess. But whatever it was and whatever he's saying, I'm like, I don't like this guy. Mm. I don't like his vibe. I don't like his act. None of this shit is funny. He's going to be doing fat jokes and you know, gay jokes I can't relate to because, you know, I'm cisgender male who lays down with women. And I'm not going to like any of this. And then when he gets into the dark shit, then I like it.
Yeah, I agree.
And then by the end of this fucker, I love it. Mm. I love this guy. And then I'm looking him up. First thing I did when this thing was over, Caleb Reardon, tour. I want to see this guy live.
You know, I was thinking.
And he's got no tour.
I was thinking the whole time, I bet this is even so much, a lot better. I mean, I was already to the point where I was enjoying it, but I was thinking if I was in the room, I'll bet I'd really enjoy this. I'll bet I'd actually be laughing out loud.
If
you were like in the same energy in the room of the performer.
Yeah, probably so, right? It's usually better live. But when I watched him at the beginning, like on that shag carpet and those men's shoes he had on, and I was like, this guy's is cringy. Like he's had didn't seem that confident, and I was like, oh God, I'm glad I'm not in that room. But then by the end, you're right. I was like, I would love to see this guy live. He was awesome. I'm gonna say this: Caleb Reardon is the greatest comic working today.
Well, that's why we need this ranking episode, so that we can just clear this bullshit.
10 drink minimum. 10 microphones, 10 lights.
You know what was interesting too is I was watching it with the captions on, and they have like descriptors of the audience the whole time. It's kind of funny how they'll kind of describe what the audience is doing. Like at one point it said, "Audience laughing uncontrollably." And I mean, they were laughing.
I maybe had different captions on. Maybe. Did you watch it with the captions? No.
No, I can't stand captions.
You can't?
Especially during comedy specials, I can't stand them either. But sometimes you're just too lazy to turn them off. I don't know how they got turned on. And I just didn't really feel like finding the button.
I had to watch captions for about 2 weeks when my missus has hearing aids. And I never realized we'd accidentally turned off the transmitter. So we had to have captions on all the bloody time. So it drove me insane. And
you turned the transmitter off on the hearing aids?
So the hearing aids get everything coming out of the telly from this little Bluetooth.
Okay, okay.
And it accidentally got turned off. And I thought it was something else. I didn't realize it was the transmitter.
But she knew she couldn't hear as well, yeah?
Right. So she said, well, it stopped coming into my hearing aids. Mm. So I couldn't suss it out for a couple of weeks until I realized this thing that I thought was another thing was the transmitter. So that 2 weeks drove me fucking insane.
Yeah, I don't like the... I mean, I'm watching them all the time because of my kids, but I'm just reading. I'm not even looking at the word. I'm just reading the words the whole time. And the words sometimes come before the...
Yeah, right.
The actual sound. It's like,
ruins
what the fuck
the joke.
Is this?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But now I can't turn them off. It's like a crutch.
Yeah.
Because then you don't miss anything. Because my hearing's bad, too.
It's funny, though, when you're watching a comedy special and all the swearing and stuff, and you think, tee-hee, he's writing the words.
Yeah.
Some poor bugger.
I saw Nosferatu at the Music Box Theater, and I was kind of stuck, like, waiting in the corner there. And the sound was terrible, just kind of bouncing off the concrete floor and the walls. And, you know, they're already speaking with this really heavy accent. And he speaks. Have you seen the movie?
Yep.
The new one. He speaks with this very slow. Right, yeah. And so I couldn't understand a word. I didn't even stay for the whole movie.
Really? You walked out?
I was like, I'm going to get something to eat. So, however, then on a flight to Dublin, they had that on the airplane. And I watched it with the captions. Completely different movie.
Loved it.
It was great.
Yeah.
I knew what was going on. Captions.
Well, I think I'm going to need captions in my advancing age. We're all going to need them.
Maybe you can get one of the transmitters.
Yeah. How's your hearing?
It's not bad.
All right?
Not bad.
Yeah. Jesus, we're old.
My favorite joke was the trans people abusing GoFundMe because that
was funny.
Like,
I liked when he said straight men don't like women. when he's talking about being bisexual. And he's like, I realize I wasn't bisexual because straight men don't like women.
Right. Yeah. He's like, right. I think it's kind of funny. I like guys, but I also like every movie that Julia Roberts is in.
Yeah. And then the redneck progressivism stuff was good, right? Like how we talked about, you mm-hmm. know, rednecks being like, faggots don't bother me, right? I'll take it. Well, nobody wants to hear us go through all his bits.
Right. You gotta go watch it.
Go watch it is what we're here to say. Is go watch this, man.
Maybe that can be the review. Go watch it or don't bother. Yeah. That's mine.
I want a rating system.
But I'm putting go watch it in the descriptions of them all.
You are?
To the five people that go and look at it.
There is? It says go watch it based on what you said or based on what
we said? No. Go watch it before you listen to this episode.
So I'm going to say either don't bother or take Mark's advice. That's going to be my rating system. Mark's advice, go watch it.
One of my friends who did listen to a few early episodes said you really have to push watching it before listening.
I think we've talked about this a couple times.
We had less bullshit then. Yeah. We just did the review.
Who would listen to this program, really?
I can't really think.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody who would want to listen to
this. I don't know why you would.
Why would you listen to this show? Right? To hear British guy talk?
No. Yeah, some of the stories are good.
Yeah, some of the stories
are good. Well, you guys listen to podcasts, though. I can't understand listening to any podcast, let alone specific.
I don't listen to podcasts, really.
Once
in a while. You do? Yeah.
He never stops.
Yeah, I love him. You can learn a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of knowledge people like out there.
My wife listens to all these episodes. Mm-hmm. I think she enjoys it.
I listen to our show, too. If it comes on while I'm like making dinner or something, if it's next up on the queue,
I'll
let it play. Yeah.
Can we sub in? Can your wife just take my spot and
you want out?
Carry on.
We'll replace him.
All right.
Let's replace him with somebody.
Maybe that's what we need.
Somebody American.
you could have passive arguments as part of the reviews. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could like work issues out.
No, I don't want her in here. No,
as part of the episode.
You're tricking me. I don't want her in here.
Like imagine if I was your wife right now, what would you say to me?
About what?
I don't know. It's an
open
forum.
Where'd you get those old sneakers?
I'm not saying.
When did you start wearing old sneakers?
See, you're trying to bait me into saying something that's going to get me in trouble later, right? Well, now I hear you saying, "Well, I can't talk about that," right? And I'm getting shit about not talking about stuff. What? Now I'm going to get shit about what I just said just then.
Yeah, I know. And the face that you made when
No, I didn't make a face.
You should have
said love my wife. In fact. We were supposed to make love earlier. Now we're supposed to make love at 2. What time is it?
Oh.
We had a long... Is it almost 2?
Coming up to half 1.
Half 1?
Well, you've got no Cubs pressure these days.
Cubs are out.
Ah, that's right, yeah. Sorry about your
So I don't have to get loss. To the Cubs. So we're going to make love from 2 to 2:30 today.
Yeah, all right.
So I got a little time. I love to make love to her. God, I love it. I didn't think I would... I thought as I got older, I wouldn't like to make love to this gal, but God,
boy,
I
were
do.
You wrong, huh?
What I about do. This then? Why don't you make love your rating system?
Yes. Okay.
Erection based, right?
No,
so you
can that's
flaccid. Flaccid means half a tea cake is not
What's
bad.
A tea cake?
What's a tea cake?
Half a tea cake means you're sort of semi. You got a semi lob on, and then what is it? Totally.
I give it 4 lobs. Full lobs on.
Flaccid, half a tea cake to what would it be?
I don't even know what a tea cake is.
Tumescent,
turgid, fully turgid.
Yeah, there's turgid. Your rating system.
Mm,
it's got
crass.
Everything. It's got everything
like
you like talking about.
I don't like that like locker room talk.
Oh God!
No, I'm gonna come up with it though. I'll give it 3 shags. No.
Nope.
Yeah, that's not it.
No, it's not it.
Fucking Austin Powers.
Three.
Yeah, do an Austin Powers one. Groovy baby.
4 groovy babies. Well, I'll start here. I'm giving this guy 5 groovy babies. Or however many, whatever the highest number we can. What's the highest number we can give? I'm giving it that many.
You're giving it a full, what's her name? Hugh Grant's ex.
Yeah.
Liz Hurley.
Yeah, Elizabeth Hurley's.
Full on Liz Hurley's. Yeah.
Full on lobbed Liz Hurley's. I love Caleb Heron, one of my favorite comedians of all time. I got to know him. I want to know him to the point where he talked about being out with all his gay friends, trans friend, non-binary friend. I want to have more friends like Caleb Huron. now I'm doing Great Lakes. Huron. Yeah. and I want to be part of the gay community. I may even want to be gay after watching this.
All right.
Because I like this so much. So fun.
Even as a cis...
even though I'm cisgender currently,
yes,
I'm considering a move to maybe bi. I may go bi.
This is why your wife needs to be in these recordings.
Why?
Because I can witness this going on. Now she's going to find out listening to the recording.
About what?
About you. You know,
being bi?
Yeah. Running off.
She'll have to find out.
Running off to Miami with Ramon the pool boy.
She'll have to find out through the show. I
guess that's a way to make people listen to this shite.
Yeah. I'm going to start off with bi. I don't know if where it's going to go from there, but I'm bisexual now. I'm not...
That's a high rating for a special.
What?
It changed my sexual orientation. It was so good.
I'm not saying I'm attracted to Caleb Huron. I'm just saying I enjoyed it so much, and his being gay, it's made me take a step to the gay side. And whereas now I watched this morning, I woke up cisgender male. Now I'm bisexual, and I'm going to announce it formally on Facebook, which I did just join last week. I'm on Facebook.
Oh yeah. Why? Heather said to me, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I'm on there.
Yeah.
How does Heather know I've joined Facebook?
Because it chains recommendations together. So like she's friends, one of the few people she's inexplicably friends with on Facebook is Crocious.
Yeah, that's the only person.
So you must have linked to Crocious.
Oh.
Crocious and CJ Sullivan, and that would be boom. Then it's going to say.
I think the only person I'm friends with is Crocious on Facebook because I just wanted to try it out. I didn't want to. Except any other friends. Just I'm testing it out with Crocious. He's very active.
What made you make the leap?
I've been wanting to for a while, dip my toe in social media.
Oh, God.
You know, so I'm joining Facebook.
Just as everyone else is leaving.
They're leaving?
Bill comes running along with his bathers on. Let me in. Everyone's leaving. Like, I mean, what is it now? Like, Facebook is over 50s, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's...
Well,
it's,
yeah.
Hey,
I'm over 50.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the kids have a grading thing, right? Don't they? Where they go, well, if you're under 25, that's TikTok. If you're under 35, that's Instagram.
I know at least they did 10 years ago, but those kids aren't kids anymore. So I don't know who's in charge of the grading system now.
Yeah. Well, the real reason I've joined is because apparently Craigslist is not a thing anymore.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's still there, but there's really...
You're on Marketplace.
Yeah, I'm looking for something, and I can never find it, and then it'll take me to Facebook Marketplace, but I can't get in there.
Yeah, that is...
Now I'm in.
The Facebook free...
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
That's the new Craigslist.
That's how
Facebook.
I got my coffee maker, actually.
Yeah.
I just found a car that I'm looking at on Friday.
A car Craigslist. On Facebook?
Yeah, on Craigslist.
Really?
Yeah.
Be careful.
I mean, most stuff.
You're going to get murdered.
Most stuff that is on Craigslist is on Marketplace as well. If you do like a specific search, you'll find them in both places.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess why not? You know, if you really want to sell the thing, why limit yourself?
Yeah. So I'm on there.
Cool.
All right. Well, you like Caleb Reardon?
Yeah. This was special.
I'm not saying that. That's out. That's not.
I am. This was special.
It was special.
It was very special.
You know what this made me think of? I had put on The Waterboy when I was in North Carolina recently.
Love Waterboy.
Yeah. Wanted something easy to put on in the background. Yeah. And, you know, I just really enjoyed the nostalgia is one thing, you know. I watched that movie a lot when I was a teenager. But revisiting some of the feel-good moments of The Waterboy, and it was just a very easy...
What does this fucking have to do with this?
It was a very easy watch. It wasn't anything I had to pay a lot of attention to, but it just kind of ended up feeling good at the end, and that's what I compare Caleb Heron's model comedian special to.
Yeah, it was feel-good. I mean, there was some darkness in there, but... what it did for me, it reaffirmed my democratic values, or my, you know, meaning I'm a Democrat, right? He's the first guy that made me want to be a Democrat again in a while, you know? Wanted me to be a liberal. I'm a liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I'd gotten away from that. But now I'm back. After watching this special, I'm liberal and a Democrat again. And bisexual.
Every single comedy special is left-leaning.
Not Ron White.
Not Ron White.
Not...
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
I mean, yeah, no, I mean the good ones.
Oh, that's... See, you're too biased.
Yeah.
How about Joe Rogan?
Keeping yourself in a box.
How about...
I've watched it.
Dennis Miller's.
Dennis Miller doesn't do specials anymore. And the ones from the 80s, he would be left.
No. He's a
was he always sneaky right winger?
Right? Oh yeah.
Even when he was on SNL.
Yep, and maybe he didn't show his cards there, but yeah.
I don't remember because he was on that week.
He's a right winger. Do your research.
The one I always remember Dennis Miller is when Dana Carvey comes on.
As Dennis Miller?
As Dennis Miller on the weekend thing and just keeps like... Beep, beep, beep. And keeps going, Rip Baba Ganoush. And Dennis Miller looks at him and goes, what does that even mean? Yeah. That was a good one.
They're great, yeah.
Did he do it often then? I thought that was just a one-off.
Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey
he would come on. Dana Carvey's always doing Dennis Miller. Like, he does them on the podcast all the time.
No, but this was on SNL.
Oh, on SNL. I don't know if he did it more than once, but yeah. I think he only that one time. Yeah, where he had the wig and everything.
Yeah, he had the wig and the suit and everything, yeah.
Huh, all right,
Dennis Miller.
Yeah,
there's a name from the past.
Well, hopefully Christian's teed up a nice right-wing comedian for us to balance this one out next week.
Yeah.
Who you got there, Frank?
All right, so this was supposed to be last week's. I forgot that I had something queued up. You have seen this man's billboard in Wrigleyville.
Chaz Walters, Hot Property.
Hey. Nailed that one. Did I already talk to you about this or something? Hit that right on the nose. No. You sent to the group chat.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who it was.
You said, who the hell is this guy? And it was kind of funny timing because just earlier that day, I had been talking to somebody that lives in Boys Town that was saying, I keep seeing these advertisements everywhere for this comedy special. Now, prior to that, by about three nights, I was falling asleep watching something, and the next thing came on, and it was this comedy special. And I remember in between phasing in and out of consciousness, hearing some of the jokes, thinking, I can't tell if this is worth watching or not. But then the marketing campaign that followed for Andrew Santino's White Noise.
Oh, Andrew Santino.
Piqued my interest.
Yeah, I saw
that. And
obviously
billboard. The interest of at least one of the two other people sitting in this room. And
now this guy's MAGA?
I have no idea what his political beliefs are.
I doubt
are.
If he's got a billboard in Boys Town, he's MAGA.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
No, he's
Wrigleyville.
He's in Wrigleyville.
No,
he's
Wrigleyville's
big,
MAGA country.
Yeah.
He's a big sports. I think it's because I looked him up after you, and he's on, you know, Barstool or whatever fucking bullshit.
So
like
it's got to be good.
Related thing.
Hey, we always talk about this, and it never happens. Can we get Caleb Reardon in here? Aaron, in here?
You have to get his name right first.
Yeah. I love him. He's my favorite comedian.
Anytime he appears here, we're under strict instructions to not publicize.
Huh?
So he comes, but he'll be like, no publicity.
Is he super popular?
Yeah, he's obviously doing his own show and he doesn't want...
He's on HBO.
Yeah, so...
No,
I'll keep
that's
an
a
eye
no.
out.
It's a no.
You mean on this... In the Lincoln Lodge or on the show?
Either.
Yeah,
I just want to meet him.
I keep saying I'm going to deliver and don't, so I'm just not going to send it anymore. I'll tell you what I am delivering.
What?
No, I won't. No, I won't say that.
What?
No, brown trout as soon as the show's over?
No, it doesn't matter. No.
To the loo?
No, it's not relevant. I'm not being coy. It's just not.
Well,
relevant.
You have to tune into the Patreon after hours, sure, yeah, and find out what he's talking
Thank
about.
Thank you
again.
For subscribing to our Patreon, by the way.
And I'll tell you, last week's Patreon was underwhelming at best. He talked about someone who's shagging somebody, and unconfirmed.
Yep.
All right, friends. Andrew Santino, White Noise. We'll talk about him next week, and maybe he'll turn me back.
Who knows?
To cisgender. I'm very fluid.
All right.
With my fluid.